Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you for giving us wisdom and encouragement for the days to come. And thank you so much for the word you're giving us today, Lord. Please bless it to the hearts of our brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to call this the Great Restoration. And yesterday, in the early morning hours, I saw a vision of a pit made out of concrete. In it, I saw a young spotted leopard carrying what it considered to be a prize in its mouth. It was the head of a dead lion. And another nondescript cat was trying to steal this prize from the leopard as it was trying to climb out of the pit with the lion's head in its mouth. And I was standing above the pit, favoring the leopard and his cause, but I was threatening and shooing the nondescript cat away. And I believe the interpretation the Lord gave me, I believe the young spotted leopard to represent the immature people of God in their spots and blemishes of sin as they get in their confession the mind of our crucified Christ. And that is the lion's head, which will deliver them from the pit of sin and its curse of corruption. In Romans 12 and 2, we're told, "Be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this coming out of the pit represents resurrection / restoration life. The nondescript cat was in this form because it represents all the varied peoples and tongues of men who, in service to Satan, seek to hinder the gospel from delivering the people. And this includes the religious faction, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of our day, and those who are loyal to them. And I believe I was a type of the David man-child body who will resist these perverts of so-called Christianity to favor the people's deliverance and restoration. And I believe that this is a type of the great restoration that we're on the verge of right now. Thank God. The Lord reveals that there will be a restoration of His people's lives in an outpouring of the Spirit after the Northern Army, as a type of the faction in the government and in the church, is defeated at the spiritual Red Sea. And this is primarily a restoration to the bride as the first fruits, and then through the bride to the church. This all happened in Jesus' day as a type and shadow. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Nothing changes. It just happens with larger and larger groups of people, right? So the Lord has shown us that this Northern Army attack symbolizes the ongoing deep state attack on the U.S. using pestilence, sword, famine, and fire, which is listed in scriptures many times in Babylon's war against the apostate leadership, typed as Jerusalem, and God's apostate people. Jeremiah 21 and 7. "And afterward, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah," that apostate leadership in Jerusalem, "and his servants and the people, even such as are left in this city, from the pestilence and from the sword and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which I believe is the deep state, and those religious people who serve the deep state, by the way, the dragon, right, including the faction in the church, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life, and he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity nor have mercy. And verse 8 says, and it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same king of Babylon, that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, says the Lord, with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. And why is this? Because the religious order of the day, the apostate religious order of the day, has rebelled against God and against his command. And he's going to use Babylon to bring them down. He's going to use the deep state and the faction, all of which has been happening, to bring them down. Jeremiah 39 and 8 says, and the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. And I believe that this represents churches being taken down by the deep state by burning. The false church faction attack against the bride is a part of this dragon, and uses the sword of their mouth as slander and criticism to turn the people away from the gospel by destroying its credibility and the people who share it. Psalm 57 and 4 says, my soul is among lions. I lie among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows. Notice they're set on fire. And their tongue a sharp sword. And Psalm 64 and 3, who have whet their tongue like a sword and have aimed their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret places at the perfect. Suddenly they do shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil purpose. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who will see them? And Job 5 and 15, but he saveth from the sword of their mouth, even the needy, from the hand of the mighty. Amen. And so it shall be, and so it has been, and so it shall be. The Northern Army was another type running parallel to this one we just mentioned. It's not Babylon, but Assyria, who tried to conquer righteous Jerusalem. We were dealing with wicked Jerusalem, and God is doing that. And now we're talking about a parable that talks about righteous Jerusalem. So Assyria tried to conquer righteous Jerusalem, which is the bride. They had already conquered apostate northern 10 tribes, which faction and apostates have done, because these conquered ones are not the bride. The bride will escape. Here also is mentioned the restoration of the years this enemy had plundered from God's people. Let's read it, Joel 2, 20-27. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its fore part into the eastern sea, and its hinder part into the western sea, and its stench shall come up. Oh, I tell you, it stinks, doesn't it? And its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Yes, he has, very unexpected things for most and everybody, you know, good, great things in the world. It will last for a little while. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, that's the bride, of course, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. That's the outpouring of the Spirit. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So lots of fruit is going to be born, and anointings born. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And that is an army of attackers against God's crop, which he is going to smite right here. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. Yes, he's going to deal wondrously with the bride. How awesome. And my people shall never be put to shame. Well, that's the plan of the wicked, to put the bride to shame. But who they put to shame is the wicked among God's people, as we saw in the former parable. Okay, that's going to happen. And this is going to happen. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. And he does speak about the faction being put to shame, doesn't he? Yes, of course. Which will never be put away. And I believe this restoration incorporates the power of the Spirit, health. Many of you are waiting for a health miracle, right? The power of the Spirit, health, youth, prosperity, doctrine, fruit, gifts, authority, and a general deliverance from all of the curse that Jesus paid for. Like Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is being contrary to God's word. That's what it means. Having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So, this restoration will begin with the bride who will spread this gospel to the true church of the called out ones. That's what the Greek word for church means, right? The called out ones. Those who are willing to come out from among them. And he is going to deal wondrously. And the people will realize that God is in the midst, as he said here. A great outpouring of the Spirit of God at the time when the northern army is smitten. Praise be to God. So, listen to some of this. We're going to begin here with some verses that appear to speak about the restoration of stolen youth. Right? Wow. Psalm 103, 1 through 5. This is a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Yes, they're all going to come to pass. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. That sounds like the people who came out of Egypt, doesn't it? Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Once again, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy desire with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. How about that? Now, I'm sure that this has more than one interpretation about this youth being renewed like the eagle. First of all, the church is going to go back to the way it was, in a way. Not in magnitude. The magnitude is going to be much bigger and much broader, but the church is going to be renewed to all the things it once had. Okay? And people are going to be have their youth renewed, like the eagle. Well, this eagle is the one who puts out its pulls out its talons with its beak and feathers and rubs its beak on a rock and waits for the restoration which God brings. And this represents a new mouth, new weapons of warfare, and new clothing, which helps it overcome the gravity of the world, right? The new clothing I would liken unto Romans 13 and 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, which means putting on his works, right? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Restoration of youth. Wow. Awesome. Job 33 and 25 says, his flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He returneth to the days of his youth. How awesome. I've actually seen a little bit of this, and I believe much greater is coming. God's people coming out of Egypt at the time of the Red Sea received their youthful restoration. Psalm 105 and 37 says, and he brought them forth with silver and gold. Yep, there's going to be a great exchange of wealth. Not the kind that Obama thought he would bring, but another one. And there was not one feeble person among his tribes. Not one feeble person. And feeble covers a larger territory than it does nowadays. It could be feeble in strength and in body and in mind too, you know. So, and Deuteronomy 34 and 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Wow, he was just as strong at the end of his life as he was at the earlier part of his life, right? And Nehemiah 9 and 21, yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness. So this stayed with them as they went through the wilderness, this restoration of youth. And they lacked nothing. Whoa, God is going to provide every need, like Philippians 4:19, right? They lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. A great provision of health and prosperity and such going through the wilderness. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, I believe also is a representation of this great blessing. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. There you go. The fall of the curse and the rise of the resurrection life of Christ. The restoration. They are become new. And this, of course, does happen when people abide in the mind of Christ, which is what the lion's head represented. And this will bring about this new creation man. Amen. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. This is Psalm 132, 13 through 18. The Lord hath chosen Zion. That's the bride. He hath desired it for his habitation. He will live in the bride. That's what makes the bride, is because God lives in her. Through his word, through his spirit, etc. This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. The bride is going to be blessed, prospered. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests also will I clothe with salvation. That's something new. I would say an awful lot of the priests don't even have salvation. I'm talking about preachers, you know. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Yes, it'll be a joyful time. Even though the opposite parable is being enacted too, which is judgment upon the wicked, right? There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. There it is right there. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. Amen. Lord, come in your man child, Lord God. We need your help in everything, Lord. Need your wisdom. Amen. Psalm 133:3. Like the dew of Hermon, they cometh down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Wow. Praise God. Yes, we need the restored life of Christ, right? Acts 3:19-21. Repent ye therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus. When does he say he's coming? Hosea 6:1-3. The latter rain. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. And we're reading some of that. You know, Jesus will first come manifested in the man-child reformation ministry to restore all that was stolen from God's people, just as he did in his first body, and the things that have been are the things that shall be. Except this time it's going to be on a much larger scale, worldwide, not just that little place in the Middle East, right? So when's he going to do this? It says in Hosea 6:1-3, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. Yes, we've been torn, but he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Yes, the healing, the health, the restoration, all those things. After 2 days, that's 2,000 years, will he revive us? And on the third day, the morning of the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is sure as the morning. That's the morning of the third day, he just mentioned. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. This is how he's coming, as an outpouring of the Spirit. That's, they think he's coming in the air to rapture them out, but that's totally false. Okay. He's coming to come in his people before he comes for his people. Otherwise, he couldn't take this people into the heavenly places. And 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace, all unmerited favor, who calleth you unto his eternal glory in Christ. He calleth us unto his eternal glory in Christ. Is there any curse on Christ? Well, neither on these people he's talking about. After that you have suffered a little while, okay, we've seen that, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. A great promise from the Lord. And it's going to begin with the bride, and it's going to go through the church. And if you think the bride is the church, you need to go and study. You'll find out that's not true. Psalm 45, Esther, Song of Solomon. Look at the bride. It's not the church. Psalm 71, 20 through 21. Thou who hast showed us many and sore troubles, yep, many tribulations, wilt quicken, which means to make alive, will quicken us again, and will bring us up again from the depths of the earth. That's coming out of the pit in the revelation I first shared with you. Increase thou thy greatness, and turn again and comfort me. Amen. Amen. Coming. Coming. Look at all these things coming. Be encouraged, saints, and pray for it. Yeah. And pray against those that resist it. You know, the cat, right? Pray against those evil people who are resisting the gospel and turning people away from the gospel, which they will have an everlasting shame for, the Bible says. Jeremiah 30, 1 through 3. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, says the Lord, that I will turn again the captivity of my people Israel, representing the church, and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. All right. This speaks of the church coming out of captivity to the beast kingdom, to return to the land of milk and honey, the land of our spiritual forefathers in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Everything that they got there is yours and more. And we're going to have our own book of Acts, but greater in scope and in intensity. And multitudes are going to come into the kingdom. There are some people saying there won't be a revival. They don't know what the Bible says and teaches about this. There will be a great revival. Yeah, there will be no revival to the apostates who don't want to repent, but many are going to come out from among them too, just like they did in Jesus' day when he preached to all of them. And the apostates came out, and the wicked refused, and the wicked were later get turned over to the beast in 70 A.D., who brought destruction to them. Okay, Isaiah 40 and 31, But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. There it is. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What spiritual energy Father will put in his people to bring in this harvest. Amen. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. And you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you out of all the nations from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. That place speaks of the bride. They're going back to the bride, where it all started in the days of Jesus. Remember what John said in 3 and 29? He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom that standeth and heareth him, that's John the Baptist, the preacher of repentance, the spirit of repentance which is in the world today, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is made full. Praise God. Great joy, spoken many times of the restoration people. Isaiah 60, 10 through 22. The foreigner shall build up thy walls. Yes, God's got better things to do for these very valuable people who are full of God Himself. They are going to be ministers. That's what the Bible says. But other people will be used to build up their walls. And the king shall minister unto thee. And that's happening too. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy upon thee. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Praise God. Thy gates also shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may seek unto thee, that men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations. Yes, this is happening and will happen. And thy kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom which will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Well, that's what you see in the tribulation period and the great and terrible day of the Lord, right? The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree, together to beautify the place of thy sanctuary. And this is really talking about people. People are as trees, are they not? And I will make the place of my feet glorious. Amen. That's the bride. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man pass through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the nations, and shalt suck the breast of kings. That's happening too, spiritually, of course. And thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver. Look at the increase in the value of this. And for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. A great increase in value, in life and possessions, I would say. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. And violence shall no more be heard in thy land. And of course, this is the violence of the attacks of the wicked against the righteous, which we've been seeing. Desolation nor destruction within thy borders. It won't be there. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. In other words, you pass through those walls, you're going to manifest God's salvation to do it. And you're going to give praise unto God because He's the one that does it. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord will be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Your light is going to be your glory. It's God in the midst of Zion, who He said was going to be His eternal dwelling place, in the glory of God. We grow from glory to glory, right? We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. And that's star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. That's the manifestations of glory we grow into. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. You say, how can that happen in the tribulation period? Just go and look at those two parables we talked about. That's how they can be side by side. Thy people also shall be all righteous, and they shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. He will be glorified in the earth. People will see his salvation. They will see him ministering in the earth, in his body, in his true body, those in whom he lives, in word and in spirit. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. That's a revival. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. That's a great revival with multitudes coming into the kingdom of God. Amen? Wow. Isaiah 61, 1 through 11. And we see this, of course, as the beginning of the man-child ministry, just like it was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And I tell you, the wicked are trying to destroy those good tidings. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Wow, this is restoration, folks. Look, all of that is restoration. And it was in Jesus' ministry. When he began until he finished, it was his ministry, a restoration ministry. And it was the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How is he going to come? Like the Spirit of the Lord. Right? Verse 2, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. A little bit more there than there was last time Jesus preached this. He stopped there. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes. Here's the restoration. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So the people are the trees, right? That he may be glorified. Amen. He's going to be glorified in the saints, and marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. That's what Paul said about this day. Praise the Lord. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations. That's that the enemy tore down. The worms, right? Chomping on his crop. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Yep, why not? Why, they can do something valuable. And foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Uh-huh. Why? Because the people of God, who are holy, have something more important to do. The harvest. Verse 6. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations. Going to happen. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. That's kind of like Job, right? Coming out of all that trouble and persecution and hatred and faction against him and his so-called friends, and into that place of multiplied blessings, right? An everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love justice. Yes, and we're going to see justice. We want to see justice too. People are crying out for it. God's holy people are crying out for it. And it's happening. I hate robbery. Yes, God hates robbery. He sees the robbery that the faction have done and their iniquity. With iniquity. And I will give them their recompense in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Amen. He's going to pay back all the things that the wicked have stolen and the curse has stolen. He's going to bring it back multiplied. And their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. And all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Yes. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with a garland, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. We had a good parable about this, a bride receiving her jewels recently. It was beautiful. And as the earth bringeth forth its bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. How awesome. And it shall come to pass when all these things, this is Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which it has, I mean, remember the northern army, okay, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the peoples whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And if any of thine outcasts be in uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch them, thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. We know who our forefathers are. They're the ones that wrote the books of the Bible. The New Testament books of the Bible, right? And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, that persecuted thee. Amen. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day. The Lord saying, it's going to happen. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in all the work of thy hand, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground for good. That sounds like a restoration to me. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt obey the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. I pray everyone listening does exactly that. Now I'm going to repeat this for a good reason. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. Let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. A great revival and restoration coming on this morning of the third day, just as he said. And I prefaced this text with that, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. A great revival, a great restoration of life to God's people. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones. That's dead people. And he caused me to pass by them. The dead in Christ are still out there, folks. They're in churches all over the place. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Oh, yes, they are very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath, which is the same word for spirit, to enter into you. That was the breathing that he told them to do, to bring to life these bones, right? To enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath or spirit in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I beheld, and lo, there were sinews upon them, and the flesh came up, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe, the spirit, right, upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And this is the great army of the harvest, right? They are going to defeat Satan, just like Revelation chapter 12, you know, because they love not their life unto death, and because of the blood of the Lamb. And, of course, the angels went forth to bring it to pass. And because of the word of their testimony, and the angels received power from that to go forth and to conquer the principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness, right? The word of the light of, that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This is Isaiah 2, 1 through 3. And it came to pass in the latter days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And what is his house? The bride, Jerusalem. And he will teach us his ways, and he will walk in his, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And so it shall be, and so it was in Jesus' day. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He raised up the bride. They went forth and preached, and they brought that restoration to the rest of God's people. And so it shall be today. Isaiah 49:13-23. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have compassion upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. Some people feel that way. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth from thee. Amen. So the faction is separated from the bride, and that's been happening. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them as with an ornament, and gird thyself with them like a bride. For as thy waste and thy desolate places and thy land that hath been destroyed, surely now shalt thou be too straight for the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far from thee, shall be far away. Yes, the closer you get to Jesus, the more they hate you and the more they flee. And that's what's happened. Praise God. And the children of thy bereavement shall yet say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these? In other words, the faction left, and now who are these people coming? Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have been bereaved of my children, and am solitary, an exile, and wandering to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where were they? Oh, God's been raising up people everywhere. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set my ensign to the peoples. They shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers, and they shall bow down to thee with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And they that wait for me shall not be put to shame. Amen. How awesome. Psalm 66 and 12. Thou didst cause men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. A broad place, he says some places. A bigger place. In other words, more freedom, more power. Amos 9 and 14. I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Amen. And this is an interesting one I like very much. 2 Kings 8, 1 through 6. Now Elisha had spoken unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise, and go thou and thy household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose, and did according to the word of the man of God, and she went with her household, and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored to life him that was dead, that's the resurrection of the man child, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried unto the king for her house and for her land. They're coming back to their land, aren't they? And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed her a certain officer, saying, restore, there it is, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even until now. Okay, so the woman with the resurrected man-child returned out of the land of the beast to her promised land, which the king restored unto her with the fruit multiplied. And this was as Israel had a famine and went into Egypt, because there was grain stored up under Joseph, the man-child, during the 7 years of plenty, until the exodus back to their land, which was restored by the king. And this was as the first fruits with the man-child came out of Babylon and returned to their promised land. Oh, thank you, Father. You are such an awesome God, and you have planned a great restoration for your people. And we praise you and we thank you for it. We're looking forward to it, Lord, to the fullness of it. In Jesus' name, thank you so much, Father. Father, please bless Michael Hare and the brethren today and with an anointing and a power. And thank you, God, that the people will hear and be raised up and do wondrously and come into this great restoration. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, saints.